Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Like in the beginning, when you're at the start of the journey, you make assumptions about all of these things. And like I said, you may not be your own customer. You may not even be somebody who has a strong interest in your niche. You can make some assumptions and often they're right, but at the same time, often you get them wrong. And so the only person who can tell you what you actually should be doing or need to be doing truly is somebody who wants to buy your product right now.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And so this podcast, I want to talk specifically to people who are in the beginning of their journey. You've started a store. First off, congratulations. Whether you're in our course, you listen to this podcast, you're in our Facebook group, you've actually started a business. You're running ads the right way, which means you're getting the right traffic to the right pages on your site. And now you're like, oh, do I make more sales? It can be very frustrating in the beginning. We've talked about this in previous podcasts, how long it takes to get profitable. But in the beginning, you have to lean into your customers more than you ever have before. And today we want to talk about four ways to get more sales in your business when you're at that stage, right? It might only be 3-4 sales the first month. It might only be 5-6 sales the second month. That's actually really, really good. Now let's talk about how we can lean in a little bit. And the number one thing on my list, Microsoft Clarity. So if you're not using this free tool from Microsoft, you're crazy. It's literally a free tool and it tells you a lot about your customers. So it's clarity.microsoft.com. It is a simple little pixel you put on your website. Mm-hmm. And then you can go watch every single person who goes to your website. Now, some of you are listening and haven't started yet and you're like, holy shit, can you really see everything I do on our website? We're not Google. We can't see everything that you do in your incognito windows, but we can see what you do on our website. And so you're going to learn a lot from your customers, whether that is them hammering a photo, trying to wonder why that photo won't take them to the product that they're seeing in that photo, or they're clicking on headlines, or often people read with their mouse, which I think is one of the funniest things. I don't use that personally, but you can kind of see where they're reading and you can see if they skip a section. You can see how far they scroll before they get the hell off your page because you have just one giant block of text on your product page, right? That you can learn a lot from your customer through this. And in the beginning, you're not getting that much traffic. Like, you're not blowing the doors off here. So you really should be able to watch every session. Maybe that's laying in bed for 15 minutes at night. But you should be able to watch every session on your website. And if you don't have a takeaway from that, I'd be genuinely shocked because typically you'll run into something. I think in the beginning, you'll find more errors first. Before you understand what customers are doing, you'll just be like, oh my God, look at that. I spelled that wrong. Oh my goodness, look at that. Image is off center. And like, you'll just end up finding things wrong with your site by watching recordings, but you're going to learn a lot from your customers too.
If you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. Sometimes you do it and you don't see a lot, but I think, yeah, looking at how people flow through your site, you know, can certainly, or which parts of the page that they spend more time on, can often, you know, like really just give you more insights than anything. Like, I don't think you run these tools that often and you realize, oh, like, this part of my site is wildly unusable, and that's the one bottleneck to people making sales. Like, the reality is Shopify pages all look the same, and most e-commerce sites these days are using Shopify that people visit. And so the product page, what you can and can't click on, it looks the same everywhere. And so people are pretty good at knowing, oh, I click the add to cart button, and I'm, you know, so on and such forth. But like, in terms of how people might be navigating through your site, the things they look at, and I think particularly, you know, when you start getting a little bit of organic traffic and it's going to pages like blog posts and collection pages where there might be much more variability over where links and buttons are and things that are clickable, I think then you can really start to see, oh, well, maybe if I kind of tweak that blog post a bit, I might get more clicks on the thing I'm trying to actually get clicks on. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe I could put more useful information at the top because people are landing on the page and then just disappearing straight away. You know, they're not engaging with the content on that collection page, and maybe I can try, you know, making it a bit more sexy or something like that. And so, yeah, it's a great tool. And like you say, I mean, it's free. There are not many free tools in this world that you can, or free apps or free anything that you can use in your business, let's be honest. Because software is a great business model. But this one is good on Microsoft.
Yeah, and a rare L from Google. Like, why is this not just immediately part of the Google suite of products that we all use in our businesses?
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
I was loading a rant. It was loading. The bar was loading. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save the Google rant for
I mean, Google has analytics, right? And so pairing this with Google, like Microsoft doesn't really have a version of analytics as such, right? So I think being able to pair a tool like Clarity with Google Analytics and put those data sets together would be really cool. Like, there would be so many awesome ways that you could do that, which Google doesn't do. And yeah, I think that's a pretty... I mean, I don't know how Google views this from their end. Like, I mean, it's all tied into money that they can make, and they obviously have ways that we probably can't even think about how they make money from the search network and how they think about that. But we think about it from our perspective and what would be great for us. And you would think that what's great for us would help us to make more money. We then spend more money with Google and so on and such forth, given ads are their biggest profitable revenue stream, at least anyway. Who knows? I'd love to know what goes on in the minds of the Google search people sometimes. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'll save a good rant for them later. But it does seem like over the course that we've been doing this, it's gotten worse. Like their products, maybe well-intentioned, have gotten worse. And it feels like they're dropping the ball on a few places that would be easy wins that would really, you know, help them. And let alone, you know, I'm an SEO, so I see all the bitching around their updates and how that hurts other, you know, people as well.
Sure.
And so
yeah.
I've got my own opinions, but I'll keep it myself. Anyway, all right, so use Microsoft Clarity. Watch your customers. Free tool. No-brainer. Clarity.microsoft.com. Number two, I'm going to just throw you a softball, John. Call your customers. Call your customers. Nobody screams about this more than John Warren. John, why, if I'm only getting two or three customers in month one, or three and four in month two, and maybe two again in month three, why should I be calling every single one of these, and what do I say?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, it's call your customers, but it's really just talk to more people in your niche. Customers are the easy one, right? Because you get their contact details. They buy something from you. They're going to give you their phone number. You're going to get their email address. They're friendly towards you because they trusted your business enough to buy from you. So they're a really easy person to talk to, right? And so if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you should have heard me rant a little bit about this before. As a business owner, the minute you become a business owner, you think about your business different to the way anybody else does. You might not realize it, but the minute you start building a business, you just look at everything differently. And so when you look at your website and what you're putting on there, you don't look at it anymore like a customer does. It becomes much harder for you to empathize and to put yourself in your customer's shoes, because you start to look at everything through the lens of being the business owner, and you get very protective over things, and you think that every choice you make is a good one, when in fact some of them may be really shit. It's hard to admit that. Customer will tell you that in an unbiased way, oftentimes, right? And so once again, your friends and family are not going to give you good feedback either, generally. They will sometimes, but a lot of the times that lens is going to be tinted a little bit, particularly by your close family, because they don't want to hurt your feelings often. Now, some people's family don't care about that, but let's be real. But like, a lot of people will kind of like pull their punches a little bit because they don't want to make you feel like shit, because you're their friend, you're their family. They want you to be happy and so on. And they don't want to be mean and damage their relationship. So your customers, once again, are not burdened by such concerns. Generally speaking, right? They don't care about your feelings. They don't care about you. They care about the outcome they're getting for the money that they're spending with you. And so it's literally as simple as, you know, after you know, I tend to do this after I know generally that a person's going to have received their product and ideally had a chance to open the package and use it. That's not crucial, because some people do buy things quite a ways in advance and you don't want to wait 3 months to do this. You might wait a week or so. You call the customer and it's a post-sales support call. That's what I call them, right? There are so many reasons why you should do this outside of what we're talking about right here. But you should just call your customers in, like, hey, it's John. I'm calling from here. You know, the other week you ordered this product from us. I'm just calling to see how that's going for you, to make sure that everything's going great. they're going to start talking, oh, yeah, yeah, I got it. It was fantastic. Blah, blah, blah. I started using it. I did this with it. And so there's a number of different ways you can take this at this point, right? I mean, they might also get on the phone and say, oh, yeah, I'm glad you called. I'm going to give you a big serve because something's gone wrong. And I'm not happy. That's also a good thing, let me tell you, right? It's you shouldn't hold back from doing this because somebody might be unhappy. Sometimes unhappy customers can turn into the best outcomes for your business if you help them, right? If you go out of your way for them. Let's assume somebody's fairly happy. You can then ask them questions like, you know, oh, great. Like, is there anything we could have done to increase, you know, to help you? Is there something about this experience that could have been better? Are there other products you're looking to buy that go along with this product? Was there something that was missing from our website that you would have loved to have gotten at the same time? Right? Talking back to our last episode, we talked about ways to increase your profit. One of those was building bundles and doing that sort of things. Well, post-sale support is the time you can ask somebody about that, right? And then as well, you know, other directions you can take that call is it can lead to them leaving you a review. So you can push for the review there. You know, if they have a great experience, like no e-commerce businesses do this. So if you do this, the chance that you're going to stand out, and when they talk to their friends about the thing that they bought from you, they're going to mention your business and say, holy fuck, these guys are awesome. They called me, you know, they cared so much about, you know, me getting a good outcome here, and I can't talk about them highly enough, right? I mean, think about it. When have you ever had an e-commerce business call you in this way? I can't think of it, and I order everything online, basically. But you've got that opportunity to ask them about their experience on your site, and was there any gaps? Was there anything we could have done better? And you absolutely should be asking them this. But it doesn't just stop with your customers. Every time anybody calls your business, even if they haven't bought from you yet, you have an opportunity to do this. Somebody calls into your business and they're like, oh, hey, I've got a question about this product. Blah, 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 blah. Well, serve them first, answer their questions, but then ask them a question back. Like, oh, are you on our website right now? Is there anything you'd like to see done differently? Is there anything missing? You know, like ask people questions intentionally. And so, you know, have a list of the questions you can ask somebody when they call into your business, as well as when you call them back, right? You know, don't overcomplicate it. Just ask each person one question. Record their answers. Have a little spreadsheet. Oh, this person told me this thing. This person told me they wanted to buy these products. This person told me they tried to click on something on the website and it wasn't working. You know, like, record these things, because if you start to see patterns in the feedback you get from people, then that's telling you what you've got wrong. Like, I would ask people, are you looking at anybody else's website for this product? Like, who else are you thinking of buying from? Is there any reason you wouldn't buy from us today? That's a great question. Like, what's your big hurdle, right? Because the things that you learn, like in the beginning, when you're at the start of the journey, you make assumptions about all of these things. And like I said, you may not be your own customer. You may not even be somebody who has a strong interest in your niche. And so you can make some assumptions, and often they're right. But at the same time, often you get them wrong. And so the only person who can tell you what you actually should be doing or need to be doing truly is somebody who wants to buy your product right now. And so you got to ask them, because they ain't always going to tell you.
Well, you mentioned friends and family. I'll throw a third one out there. Ask your family to navigate your site in front of you. I think in the beginning, you get too headstrong into, I know what my site looks like, let alone you're using desktop and nobody uses desktop nowadays. Yeah. Just sit down with, you know, work your way up in age if you don't want to be severely disappointed right out of the gates. Start with your parents, maybe a sibling, and just say, hey, go find this on my site. And then just look over the shoulder and watch them navigate through your site. Then do that with a parent. And if you still have a grandparent alive who uses a phone, ask them to do it too. I think you're going to learn a lot about the way your site interacts with other people. One thing I think you'll see right away is most people have way too small of text. I actually think this is a bug of most themes in Shopify. The text is way too small. I'll give you something to think about. When's the last time you flew on a plane, right? Close your eyes, you're on the plane. You're looking through the creases in front of you. You're looking at the person next to you. They're all on their phone. Anyone who's older than you, likely anyone who's older than me for sure, is using that function where the words are like half the fucking screen on their Apple. I don't look forward to the day that I'm there. But man, do a lot of people use that. And it just goes to testament that it's hard to see small letters. Like, I'm only 40. I would say it's like 1% worse where I'm having to squint every once in a while. But it only gets worse from there. And so most of your customers are likely going to be, middle-aged at best, if not older. Get that font size a lot bigger. And you probably hear that same feedback from your family. So this is an exercise I did a really, really, really long time ago, and it was super, super valuable. And, I recommend it to anyone. Just get if you listen to this today, go do it today and just have anyone go search for something on your site. Just go, hey, go find this on my site and watch them navigate through your site. And I guarantee you'll learn something today.
Yeah, absolutely. There should be almost no font on your site that is smaller than size 18 font, right? Which is usually the maximum size you can put body copy to in Shopify without actually specifically coding it in. Like, you go to, like, just go to our dropshipbreakthrough.com website and look at a blog post. Like, the text is actually bigger than that. It's like size 20, I think. Most of the on the homepage, the stuff is like size 20. At the top there, there's even some that's bigger than that. It needs to be bigger than you think it needs to be, and that's primarily a mobile device thing. It's not, once again, you design your desktop largely on, you design your website largely on desktop, where things are easier to read. Things are harder to read on mobile than they are on desktop for the average person, let's say. Particularly as Ben mentioned, if you have an older demographic that you serve, it's even more that you need to go even bigger. That might even be where I would be having my theme custom modified to allow me to put bigger font in. It's worth it, right? Because on mobile, it has to do with the narrowness and how text gets condensed into a narrow column as to how readable it is at smaller fonts, but. You shouldn't overlook this. Like people, you have a shorter space of time to grab somebody's attention when they're on your site. It's less than 10 seconds, right? If they get to your site and things are hard to read, they're just going to click to the next tab where they have another website open. And if that website is easier to read than yours, that's where they're going to hang out. Like people's eyes are really lazy. Like our eyes do a lot. And they're incredibly complex and all of that sort of thing, but they are also lazy. We subconsciously don't like to strain our eyes. Like the effect of that is a loss of focus. Like our eyes will just leave the thing and we'll be subconsciously drawn away from it. So such a simple trick. And once again, I see so many people get it wrong. For some reason, they think, well, if my content is longer in terms of scroll length, like people will just stop reading it. That's not true. There's literally no evidence to suggest that's true. If your content is shit and it's long, yes, nobody will consume it. But that's because it's shit, not because it's not because of the length. And so bigger font sizes is not a problem.
Yeah, I'd give you another example to go look at. That is e-commerce if you want to. It's ParamountPetHealth.com, my supplement brand. Looking at our About Us plays, About Us page, it's letters are huge, product pages are huge. And we do one good thing that I want to touch on for the rest of this podcast, which is rewrite your headlines. And you can use AI for this. Now, this is a little bit of a teaser. This episode comes out Tuesday the 20th. On Thursday the 22nd, an episode with Bill comes out where we talk about this specifically at the end of the episode. And so stay tuned for that. If you're listening to this, check out that episode 2 days from now as well. But simply providing a way to read headlines and headlines only, and that tells the customer everything they need to know about your product, is likely going to lead to more sales in your business, because no one wants to sit and read everything in today's environment. We all have very short attention spans, and likely it's the same stuff they read from somewhere else. So if you take any time to rewrite your description and then show them outcomes in your headlines, you're likely going to see an increase in conversions. I actually struggle with this. You'll hear it on the episode in a couple days. I don't know how to describe this super well. John, Bill and I went into a decent amount of depth talking about, so that, right? It's featured so that. And we gave a few examples of a more efficient auger on a pellet grill. Well, no, you should say use 50% less pellets instead of talking about the feature of the more efficient auger, right? And so I struggle with how to teach this. I hope this is something we can get into our course or give to our students and really provide good examples of this. But if you can tell a story with the headlines on your page, that is more likely to get read than it is that your customer is going to read everything that's on your page, right? And so, like, if we can optimize around the outcome they're going to get, if they can read the headlines and say, this is the benefit to me, this is why I should buy, you're going to win.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, it is in our course. It's in our Write Copy That Sells module, which is one of the last modules in the course. It's at the end.
How do you describe it, then?
Not because it needs to be at the end. It's just at the end because that's when I added it to the course. It was one of the most recent modules that... Anyway, whatever. It's just about... Think of it. So I think you most commonly demonstrate this when we talk about, you know, features... feature lists. So for most products, you're going to have a product, you're going to have a description, you're going to have a list of specifications, which is like, how big is it? How wide is it? How long is it? How tall is it? You know, all of that sort of thing. Like what voltage does it take? You know, the things that are just facts. And then you're going to have a list of features, like this thing contains this technology and this has this thing. And so people like love to list features because they think that features sell the product, and they do, but they don't sell the product in terms of somebody saying what the feature is. They only really sell the product when the customer understands what that feature does for them in a way that they can very quickly and easily understand. So what you talk about is feature benefit outcome. So in your example, the pellet grill with the auger, the pellet grill auger, which is designed in such a way that it's better than other pellet grill augers, and maybe it's got a special name like the Super Auger TM, blah, blah, blah. Well, your feature would be the Super Auger TM. Now, a lot of people would just put that and leave it there. This has the Super Auger TM. Customer goes, great. What the fuck is that? Right? And that's it. That does not take the conversion any further, right? Just because it sounds cool doesn't sell it. Because people, okay, Super Auger TM means you use 50% less pellets than our competitor. Okay, that's getting a bit better. Now I know why that's a good thing, but still you haven't gone, and that's way better. That's going to help your conversion rate lots more. But you still haven't gone all the way because you're leaving it up to me to work out what is the outcome for me. Okay. So then you have to add the outcome on, which is could be a couple of things. You could quantify it. You could say, which means that you save $5 every time you cook a steak. Immediately, my mind say, oh, $5. Yeah, right. I understand the value of $5, right? You could go further, which means if you use it 100 times a year, you're going to save $500 a year. Right, $500 every year back in your pocket if you buy this pellet grill, right? Or you could mean, this also means that you don't have to go to the store and worry about ordering pellets all the time because you're just burning through them, you know? So the outcome, that's the outcome. And that's really why somebody's buying your product. So every time you're talking about a feature on your website, don't focus on the feature. You have to immediately ask, the next question you have to ask themselves is, okay, feature, great. But what does that mean in real terms? Like in somebody's day-to-day life, what does that mean and how can I describe that in the simplest terminology possible? And that's an outcome statement. And absolutely, you should talk about that in your headlines. I think that's next level stuff because nobody talks about that stuff in their H2s or their... like you say, you use Bill as an example, and I know you and I looked at his website a week or two ago and we were like, yeah, well, this shit looks really good. He's doing it right. This is great. I think that is probably one of the contributing factors to how well he's doing at the moment, for sure. And you could use this in AI. So if you found like on your supplier's website, a paragraph that talks about a particular feature on one of their products and fed that into AI and said, now turn this into a feature benefit outcome statement, or turn this into a headline using feature benefit outcome. It's going to start spitting you out some things. And you might have to edit them a little bit, but you can definitely do that.
Yeah, I asked Claude to come up with this. So I said, trying to take my headlines on my e-commerce site from saying feature to saying outcome. What are some prompts I could provide you that would get you to help me make amazing outcome statements? And it actually gave me a few. Transform this feature into a benefit-focused headline. Or two, what's the end result a customer experiences after using product with feature? Help me turn that into a headline. Like, there, I think you're going to have to experiment here for a while to get to the right prompt. But if you can give them the feature, you can likely get to the outcome. If you talk to your customers, you can likely get to the outcome. And then you can ask it to help you make 10 different statements getting that outcome statement. But the way you transform that into value, John, I need to like think on that a little bit. So Bill and I didn't get there. If you're listening 2 days from now when that episode comes out, we didn't get there. But the save $5 every time you make a roast, or, you know, save $3 every time you make ribs, that's fucking genius. Like, I don't even think a super auger exists or what. Like, I literally made up this product. Yeah. But God damn, you got my head spinning now. And like, that makes me very excited to go work on some headlines.
Any time that you can put a dollar figure on a feature, the benefit, if you can, because everybody cares about dollars, right? But it's also immediately quantifiable. That's whenever you talk about a discount, you never say, get 20% off this product. You say, get $564 off this product, right? Because nobody understands the value of a percentage. A percentage in day-to-day life has no value. You don't go to the bank and say, hey, I saved 20% off a product. Can I deposit that into the bank? You take $564 in and say, I'd like to deposit $564 into the bank, please. And they'll say, yeah, great. Thank you for doing that. But also people can say, like, if you can couch it in terms of you're saving that money, you can immediately associate a dollar figure with something else that you can buy. So if I say, get 20% off this product today, like, once again, that doesn't turn into another product. But if I say, you're saving $564 today, somebody goes, oh, okay, so that means I can buy something else worth $564, because I was planning to spend a bigger amount of money, but now I can see how much I'm saving. $564 is a new PlayStation. Fucking A. Great. I feel good. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, absolutely. If you can equate it, the outcome, into dollar terms, always do that first.
I'm excited right now. So I want to know if you're watching this and you're like, oh, fuck, I want that on my site. I wish I could do this. I could use John and Ben's help. If this excites you, leave a comment below. Reach out to us in Slack if you're a member. I think this would be fun to either do on coaching calls, which we do for our students inside of our community, inside of our private Slack membership, or on a podcast like this. Maybe this is a new feature of like rebuff my headlines. And it's a, you know, a short podcast where we do it, because I think this could be fun, right? And we could use Claude. I got Claude rolling over here on some weird products that John and I are partners on. And just, you know, curious what it says. And like, I think this would be really fun to do publicly. So if that's you, if you're interested in this, reach out, leave a comment below, you know, send us a DM, send us an email to support at Dropship Breakthrough, whatever you need to do. And I think we should do some of this for fun.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself, and go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.